From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, happy Friday. How are you? I'm Mary Walter in for Todd. Todd is back with you on Monday. This is my last day with you. And oh my gosh, it's a crazy news morning. Like, it's crazy. There is so much happening right now. Like, just as we're coming on the air, it's crazy. So we're kind of scrambling to get it all to you. So I just ask for your patience with us. And, you know, when things like this happen, when you have multiple breaking stories all at the same time, It gets a little tough, and we're going to do our best. I know Dylan is frantically cutting some audio for you, and Cassie's manning the phones, and I'm going to be here trying to get all of this news to you in a semblance of some kind of order. Okay, we're going to try to keep it, and more is going to break on certain things as we go along. So I just appreciate your patience and understanding that we want to bring you what we know to be true and that it comes from verifiable sources, and we're doing it in a sequential way. All right. So again, just bear with me, okay? First of all, you can find me on X at Mary Walter Radio. There's no S in that. It's just Mary Walter Radio. You can get my podcast. It's a live cast on Tuesday nights, 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time. It is carried on YouTube, Getter, and Rumble live. Just look for Mary Walter Radio there. And the audio is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. Again, just look for Mary Walter Radio. Of course, the last one... The one from Tuesday that I was going to edit and get up yesterday did not get edited and get up yesterday. So I'm going to try, to do that today. But I have a crazy day today and I have a crazy day tomorrow. But then Sunday, I may be able to do it. So I'm trying hard. So please, again, be patient. It's just a lot of things all at the same time. And, you know, they say if you want to get something done, you give it to a busy person. And that's pretty much where I am right now. I feel like I should probably just quit doing any kind of job and just deal with all the other stuff going on. So listen, I hope you have a great weekend planned. We have a great show for you planned that just got totally blown up in about half an hour before we got on the air. So we're starting from scratch. Joe Messina will be joining me next hour. So he'll be with us in a little bit less than an hour and a half. All right. So, Mary, what's going on? You keep saying that there's a lot breaking. So, first of all, I'm going to wait until Dylan gets done with all of the audio. So that's the first thing, and then we'll get to more of them. So I want to start with this one. According to the Daily Caller, the pharmaceutical company behind Tylenol privately acknowledged the likelihood of an association between its drug and pregnancy and neurodegenerative disorders like autism in children 7 years ago. Now, this is according to company documents that were obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation. Rachel Weinstein, a U.S. Director of Epidemiology for Janssen, which is the pharmaceutical arm of J&J, in 2018, said the weight of the evidence is starting to feel heavy to me. J&J marketed Tylenol at the time, but in 2023 spun off its consumer products division into a separate company. Okay, great. So, you know, legacy media, et cetera, have been, and public health experts have been really going hard on Trump and RFK Jr. And they, because it's coming from, they don't like the messenger. And this is the problem with the environment in which we live. They're going to discredit the message because they don't like the messenger. And that's a big problem currently in our country. You know, you can present them evidence. And there's a woman who, you know, there's this whole, we talked about this earlier in the week, all these TikTok videos of these pregnant women defying Donald Trump and taking Tylenol. And one woman took so much Tylenol, she is now in the hospital with liver failure on life support and is going to die. Because if you take too much Tylenol, it's processed through your liver. You got to be super careful. You know, when I'm sick and I take my NyQuil, my husband's always like, don't take Tylenol with it because NyQuil contains Tylenol. So he's always like, don't take Tylenol with it because you got to be careful. So the Daily Caller News Foundation obtained the company documents from a law firm which brought a class action suit against the company in the Federal District Court for the Southern District of New York. Now, they say much of the highly cited research on autism spectrum disorder emphasizes genetic rather than environmental drivers. The scientific community continues to debate the cause, as we keep hearing and we keep seeing. The company's frequently asked questions part of their webpage says that acetaminophen is an active ingredient in all Tylenol products and in more than 600 other over-the-counter and prescription medicines. And in 2008, which is a decade before that email from Weinstein, Johnson & Johnson began receiving queries from customers and physicians about a possible link. A J&J Office of Consumer Medical Safety, Andrea Mann wrote in 2008 after receiving a letter from a physician with concerns. So this is going to be rapidly changing, but these concerns go back, as we now know, to 2008. So this is a problem. And 2018, 10 years later, internal presentation in the company labeled privileged and confidential acknowledges that observational studies show a somewhat consistent association between prenatal exposure to Tylenol and neurodevelopmental disorders. Another presentation slide acknowledges that large meta-analysis reviews found an association but notes weaknesses of the studies like variables and things like that. So they weren't perfect studies, and that's a problem. But so there really hasn't been anything, but the question has been being asked, at least on a professional level, since as early as 2008. Now, if you use it properly and you don't have other health problems, Tylenol can be great. But it's like anything else, if you use it properly, right? Like a glass of wine's awesome until you start drinking 4 bottles a day, in which case then it's not so great for you, right? So it's everything in moderation, and I think that's what we have to learn from this. But like other things with pregnant women, we often tell what pregnant women you can't eat, that they can't eat tuna, they can't eat blue cheese, they can't do this, don't drink. Like when I was a kid, I remember my mother... with my baby brother, there's a picture of my mother. I'm sure it's been burned, but it was in the family archives and was trotted out on holidays and we'd all get a good laugh at it. There's a picture of my mother breastfeeding my baby brother with a can of Rheingold beer, right? Because back then, and now everything comes full circle, her doctor at the time told her that if you're having a problem producing breast milk, you should drink beer. It's good for that. So there's my mother breastfeeding my brother with a can of Rheingold. He's fine. Actually, well, yeah, he's doing really good. I was going to say he's the best. He's making the most money in the family, but I think he and my other brother are both tied. I went into radio, so you know where I stand on that ladder. And everybody can say, believe the science. You know, the science not that long ago was telling us that if you got the COVID vaccine, that you could not get COVID and you could not transmit COVID. And that was a bunch of hooey. And they told us if we stood 6 feet apart, we couldn't transmit COVID. Again, BS. The masks, those ill-fitting paper things that had holes at the top, you know, gaps at the top, gaps at the side, those will protect you. They were worth nothing. So science changes sometimes very, very quickly, and other times it takes a longer time. But I wanted to share that with you because I thought that was important because of what's going on with the whole Tylenol thing. So, all right. Also coming up, we've got Dylan cutting some audio because President Trump spoke today before getting on Marine One. He went out to the Ryder Cup, or he was on Air Force One, excuse me, but he gets on Marine One to get to Air Force One. So it's a little hard to hear, but he is going to bring us some audio about the Comey indictment, what Trump had to say about that, and also the UN, Netanyahu giving a very fiery speech, and of course, the usual suspects who have no jobs yet have all this time to protest and have no clue what they're protesting for, because they're my humble opinion, they're just getting paid and that's their job. So that's all going on right now. Also, along the lines of the Tylenol and the RFK thing, Congresswoman Haley Stevens out of Michigan announced that she's introducing articles of impeachment against HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. She's citing what she calls healthcare chaos under his leadership. They create the chaos and then complain about it. In a post on X, she said that health care chaos, reckless cuts, rising costs, Michiganders and families across the country are paying the price for RFK Jr.'s agenda. Enough is enough. Now, she's running for the Senate in Michigan's race in the midterms. She's called on Kennedy to resign. She pointed to reductions in pediatric cancer and vaccine research. Her record on health policy has drawn attention in the past because it seems like a lot of Democrats and a lot of people who preach, she's a little bit of a hypocrite because during COVID, she was big along with all the other top Michigan Democrats, you know, talking about, you know, we have to stay locked down and we have to wear masks. And much like Gavin Newsom, guess who got caught at a soiree without a mask? She appeared maskless at her own wedding reception in 2021, even though she was insisting that schools remained masked up at the time. But if you're going to a wedding reception with me, you don't have to wear a mask. And I guarantee you the staff at that wedding reception probably had masks on. So she's a big hypocrite and she wants RFK Jr. gone. And that probably is not going to happen. It's not going to go anywhere. Lastly, Dylan, can we go to cut five or is that not possible right now? We can. All right. I just want you to hear. I want to wrap this this Tylenol thing up. This is President Obama talking about this link, the Harvard study that came out, citing a possible link between Tylenol and autism.
So we have the spectacle of my successor in the Oval Office making broad claims around certain drugs and autism that have been continuously disproved, and the degree to which that undermines public health, the degree to which that can do harm to women who are pregnant, the degree to which that creates anxiety for parents who do have children who are autistic, which, by the way, itself is subject to a spectrum, and a lot of what is being trumpeted as these massive increases actually have to do with a broadening of the criteria across that spectrum so that people can actually get services and help, not to... It's all of that is violence against the truth.
Truth, because they're trying to come out, and this Harvard study comes out. How dare Harvard conduct a study? Science never changes. According when they want silence, if they like it the way it is, or if Trump comes out with something, then they don't want the science to change. If Trump comes out questioning something, then science can't change. You're questioning the science. Remember Dr. Fauci, I am the science. People were silenced on Facebook and X and all these other social media platforms because they dared to question the quote unquote science around COVID. Now we find out that they were right. I think questioning is a really good thing. Tell us what's going on. Why not? Could the raw increase be because more diagnosis? Absolutely. Absolutely. But questioning should not be questioning should not be violent. That's ridiculous. You're going to be violence against the truth. Just because you disagree with it or you don't like the person doing the questioning doesn't mean that it shouldn't happen. And doesn't mean that it's violence against the truth. I think that that's, again, dangerous rhetoric coming from the left. We have so much to get to. We are going to do that ASAP. Todd wants you to know the Middle East is a powder keg. We're going to talk about this coming up. He's right. Iran and Israel are at war, and with America on the brink, your savings could take a hit. And that's why Todd trusts Vault U.S. Gold. The folks over at Vault U.S. Gold are American patriots protecting your wealth with physical gold and silver. And as oil prices surge and markets falter, gold's hitting highs, $3,452 an ounce. History proves in chaos, precious metals shine. With Vault US Gold, they can seamlessly roll over your 401k or IRA into a gold IRA. Or you can get gold and silver delivered directly to your door. There's no hidden fees, no shenanigans to worry about. They just give you expert guidance. So don't wait for the next crisis. Call Vault US Gold at 1-833-511-4693 or visit vaultusgold.com/Todd Starnes. And secure your future now. If you're concerned, just give Vault US Gold a call. 1-833-511-4693. Because in uncertain times, gold and silver stand strong.
Friends, I want to tell you about a new movie. It's called Sketch. And it's the latest from our good friends over at Angel Studios, the folks who are committed to bringing faith-based, family-friendly entertainment back to the big screen. Now, this one's a real treat. Sketch is imaginative, heartwarming, and just plain fun. Picture Stranger Things meets Inside Out, only clean, uplifting, and packed with values you can actually feel good about sharing with your kids. It's the story of a little girl whose sketchbook falls into a mysterious pond, and suddenly all her drawings come to life. It's got excitement, a little suspense, and a whole lot of laughs. If you're already a premium Angel Guild member, your two free tickets to Sketch are ready and waiting. If you're not, well, now's the time. Sign up today and see Sketch in theaters starting August 6th. Plus, you'll get access to Angel Studios' entire streaming library, content that reflects your values, honors your faith, and uplifts your family. If you're tired of the junk Hollywood keeps churning out and you're ready to support movies that are wholesome, meaningful, and made with heart, head over to angel.com/Starnes and become a premium Angel Guild member today.
Great music. I just sit and listen to this and kind of chill out for a little bit. Mary Walter. Todd is out, but he is back with you on Monday. So as I said, there's a ton of breaking news. And look, I know it's Friday and we could do any topic, but I just want to get through the breaking news, if you don't mind, before we just start to go off into, you know, wherever. Parts unseen, okay? So I just need to get to this and do this, and then we'll go from there, okay? So let's move to the next thing. So this is... Okay, so let's go to the whole James Comey thing, because President Trump talked about that this morning. And as you know, James Comey was indicted for alleged false statements and obstruction of congressional proceeding. So he was indicted on two counts by a grand jury in the Eastern District of Virginia. Again, alleged false statements within jurisdiction of the legislative branch and obstruction of congressional proceeding. He turns himself in today. His arraignment, yes, mugshot. Oh, the man, he was so happy about Trump. They all rejoiced. There you go. His arraignment is set for 10 a.m. October 9th before a judge named Michael S. Nachmanoff. Now, the judge, Michael Nachmanoff, was appointed by Biden, and he's going to be overseeing Comey's case. But guess what? He worked under Comey 1995 to 1996 and also in 2002. Boy, what a coincidence, because, you know, judges are assigned randomly. Yeah, the fix is in, kids. Don't expect James Comey to actually be convicted of squat. Don't expect it. It's weird how they always wind up with these sweetheart deals. Now, I'm also reading here, and remember, this is all just coming in as we go. This judge got his first job out of law school working for the Eastern District and was hired by James Comey in 1995 to 96, once again in 2002. Let's see. Again, reading it as we go here, but I'll get back with more of this because, as I said, we're reading this as we go because all of this stuff is just coming out this morning. So please have pity on us. Please be patient. We're trying to bring you everything as we can, but I'll have more information on him, more information on James Comey's reaction. We'll bring that to you. And also this morning, Donald Trump reacting to James Comey's indictment coming up on the Todd Starnes Show.
Dinesh D'Souza has done it again. His new eye-opening movie, The Dragon's Prophecy, illuminates a 3,000-year-old mystery about Israel, the dark resurrection, and the end of days. The nation of Israel is a resurrected nation, but what if there was going to be a resurrection of another people, an enemy of Israel? After the horrific attack of October 7th, The Dragon's Prophecy offers new understanding on Israel, radical Islam, anti-Semitism, and biblical prophecy. Could it be that the fate of the world, of all humanity itself, is tied to what we're seeing in the Middle East? Based on the number one international bestseller by Jonathan Cahn, The Dragon's Prophecy reveals how another realm could be transforming our world as we speak. Don't miss Dinesh D'Souza's new movie, The Dragon's Prophecy, in theaters two nights only, October 6th and 8th, streaming and DVDs available October 9th. All tickets and pre-orders at thedragonprophecyfilm.com, thedragonsprophecyfilm.com.
It is Friday. Yes, yes. And it is, in true fashion, just a crazy Friday. A crazy, crazy Friday. So James Comey, last evening, probably about 6 o'clock, this came out 6, 7 o'clock, that he was indicted on two counts by the grand jury in the Eastern District of Virginia. Now, as I said, the judge is a Biden appointee who worked under James Comey twice. So this guy should recuse himself. He won't, because it's different when they do it with a capital D. And so it'll be fine. And don't worry, it'll be totally fair. You don't believe in our judicial system? What's wrong with you? We are not American if you don't believe our judges can be fair and unbiased. So now the probe into James Comey centered on whether he lied to Congress during his testimony on September 30th of 2020 about his handling of the original Trump-Russia probe at the FBI, which we all now know was known inside the FBI as Crossfire Hurricane. So we're going to go to cut two. And this is the statement, the exchange with Ted Cruz and James Comey. This is the exchange at question.
Chairman Grassley asked you point blank, quote, have you ever been an anonymous source in news reports about matters relating to the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation? You responded under oath, quote, never. He then asked you, quote, have you ever authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump investigation or the Clinton administration? You responded again under oath, no. Now, as you know, Mr. McCabe, who works for you, has publicly and repeatedly stated that he leaked information to the Wall Street Journal. Who's telling the truth?
I can only speak to my testimony. I stand by what the testimony you summarized that I gave. I'm not going to characterize Andy's testimony, but mine is the same today.
So there you go. Now, the problem is that James Brennan contradicted James Comey's testimony. We also know that at another time, James Comey said that he gave information to a friend of his to give to the Washington Post and the New York Times. So, which one is it? Like, both Comey and Brennan can't be telling the truth because they contradict each other. So James Comey yesterday responded on TikTok. He loves his TikTok. James Comey responded on TikTok. This is cut one. Here's what he had to say.
My family and I have known for years that there are costs to standing up to Donald Trump, but we couldn't imagine ourselves living any other way. We will not live on our knees, and you shouldn't either. Somebody that I love dearly recently said that fear is the tool of a tyrant, and she's right. But I'm not afraid, and I hope you're not either. I hope instead you are engaged, you are paying attention, and you will vote like your beloved country depends upon it, which it does. My heart is broken for the Department of Justice, but I have great confidence in the federal judicial system. And I'm innocent. So let's have a trial and keep the faith.
Yeah, let's have a trial with a guy that Joe Biden appointed and worked under me. Let's have a trial with that guy. Can we do that? He knows he's not going to get into. I don't think anything is going to come of this. I just truly don't, because a judge can have unless he recuses himself or there's the prosecution just pitches a fit about this judge being in charge. But they can't really do more than just get him to recuse himself. I don't think they can actually have him forcibly removed. I just don't think that's an option. I don't believe we have that ability in this country. So I think the best they can do is just pitch a fit and hope he recuses himself. And if he doesn't, which he probably won't, because, hey, it's his old boss, he can have a really big influence on the trial, allowing certain evidence in, not allowing certain evidence in. So there's a lot that this judge can have influence over. And that's really, really That's disheartening. That's important. And we'll see what happens. I don't have high hopes, but I'm also a pessimist. I'd rather be pleasantly surprised than horribly disappointed. So when I hear it, I'm like, oh, this is great. But I'm not going to let myself get too excited, because there's going to be shenanigans somewhere along the line. And here's the first one. Now, Kash Patel on X yesterday said, "Today, your FBI took another step in its promise of full accountability. For far too long, previous corrupt leadership and their enablers weaponized federal law enforcement, damaging once proud institutions and severely eroding public trust. Every day, we continue the fight to earn that trust back. And under my leadership, this FBI will confront the problem head on. Nowhere was this politicization of law enforcement more blatant than during the Russiagate hoax, a disgraceful chapter in history we continue to investigate and expose. Everyone, especially those in positions of power, will be held to account, no matter their perch." And I think that's great. Pam Bondi, of course, went on to say, "No one is above the law." And I love that, because the left loves the whole no one's above the law thing. Speaking of which, all right, so let's go to cut three, because this is James Comey in January of 2021, January 21st, 2021, when Joe Biden was sworn in, right? And right after, the day after, I was sworn in on the 20th. So the day after Joe Biden is sworn in as president, James Comey now feels like, I'm safe because it's Joe Biden. They're not going to come after me. All of this is going to disappear. And we got away with it. So listen to what he has to say. And let me know if you can just, as you listen to it now, it is dripping with irony. Just dripping with irony. I know they don't know what irony is, but the rest of us do. Listen to this.
"And so it turns out it's an honor system to get information, to be able to find the truth. And the truth is a real thing. There are facts. There are things in this life that are verifiable or falsifiable. The entire justice system is built around the notion that the truth can be found to a high degree of confidence. But to find it, you have to count on people to tell it to you. And because they might fear to tell it to you or be motivated by greed or other human flaws not to tell it to you, when you encounter a situation where someone has not told you the truth, as a federal employee, as a Department of Justice lawyer or an investigator, you must pursue that aggressively to send a message to the others who might follow and raise their right hand or speak to an investigating agent, that they will be incentivized to tell the truth, maybe not by fear of going to hell any longer, but by fear of going to jail or being ruined. That honor system has to be enforced with an iron fist so the system will work, so the truth can be found in a reliable way."
So the system has to be enforced with an iron fist, because the truth is important. We need the truth. And I agree with them. We need the truth. I think that's very important. But I just love it. Like, the irony is just so thick, right? It's delicious that it's all coming back. And this is the thing. They thought that they were safe, right? They thought that they were safe. They thought that now, once Joe Biden's in, I'm not going to get caught. They never planned on Trump retaking office, coming back, being stronger than before, and gaining the office of the presidency again. All right. Lastly, Donald Trump today was getting ready to get on Marine One, so it's a little loud, but he was asked for his thoughts on Comey, being indicted for these alleged false statements. Here's what Trump had to say.
"Now that James Comey has been indicted, who is the next person on your list in this retribution?"
"It's not a list, but I think there'll be others. I mean, they're corrupt. These were corrupt radical left Democrats, because Comey essentially was he's worse than a Democrat. I would say the Democrats are better than Comey. But no, there'll be others. Look, that's my opinion. They weaponized the Justice Department like nobody in history. What they've done is terrible. And so I hope there are others, because you can't let this happen to a country.
Yeah, there'll be others. What they're going to try to do is say that this is weaponized because of Trump's comments. This is a weaponized investigation because of Trump's comments, which is hilarious because Letitia James campaigned on getting Trump, and that was not dismissed for quote-unquote weaponization. I forgot about this one. Okay, so this is good. So let's go to the Yapping Yentas on The View. This is cut four. So they're talking – this was before – he was indicted. All right. So they were talking about the fact that he was probably going to be indicted. And, you know, Sonny Hostin, that legal scholar that sits on The View, was talking about how Eric Siebert, who was the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, resigned because he refused to indict Comey for possible perjury. He refused to indict him. So Trump's like, well, if you're not going to do your job, here you go. And, he refused to prosecute Letitia James. And so this woman was, Lindsay Halligan, was replaced Eric Siebert. And so Sonny Hostin was talking about, she doesn't have any experience and she's just one of Trump's allies. She doesn't have any experience in this. And Sonny's going off, right? And they come up with Comey. They get on the topic of James Comey. And she said, because Sonny Hostin says, I do not have faith in the office of the Eastern District under someone who has no prosecutorial experience. So Joy Behar, again, who has never let a person finish a sentence since 1964, of course, interjects. She's got to get in there. And it's hard to hear. I have the transcript, though, so listen to the exchange. It's amazing.
I don't like Comey. I agree with Trump on this one.
don't like Comey because of what he
I don't like what he did to Hillary. I don't like what he did to Hillary.
Yeah, therefore he should be prosecuted.
I'm just saying.
Some would argue that he was.
But I rarely have something that I agree with Trump on. So this is one thing.
But you don't like him.
But Joy, some would say he was doing his job, James Comey.
What, at the last minute to bring out this baloney email baloney thing?
Some would say he was doing his job.
Okay, so I'm not going to dredge up ancient history and move on.
You agree with me?
I think that it should have been investigated. I do think the timing was out of step with tradition within the Department of Justice. Yeah. They generally don't do that a month out from an election.
Right.
But Joy Behar, in a sign of the coming apocalypse, said, I agree with Trump on this. Not because of the whole Comey thing. She agrees with Trump because she doesn't like what James Comey did to her gal, Hillary. She doesn't like that. Remember when he released a whole email scandal like a month before the election? It hurt her to a certain degree, but she got away with it. She lost the presidency, but she still got away with it. So I thought that was interesting. Yes. You know, they say the rapture's coming, and that may be a sign of it, that Joy Behar's like, yeah, I kind of agree with Trump on this one. I'm like, wait, what? So that's the Comey thing. That's what's going on there. So, we've got a lot's going on. So coming up, we're going to go into what's going on at the UN, because that's something else that broke this morning. And Donald Trump making a comment on his way to Marine Force One that is crazy. And you have to hear it. You just have to hear it. We're going to get into all of it coming up. Slowly but surely, we're going to work our way through all of this breaking news this morning, and we'll also get to the news that we were going to talk about that has broken since the show yesterday. So it's Friday, and it's just a wealth of riches. That's what we have, a wealth of riches. Speaking of a wealth of riches, I got some riches for you right here in savings, because the First Amendment is under attack. We all know that. But did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights just by using your cell phone? Mm-hmm. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why Todd is so proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable network coverage that gives you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. Now, It doesn't stop there. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Freedom, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching so easy. You get to keep your number, you keep your phone, so you don't have to deal with any of that. If you want, you can upgrade your phone. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. Plus, you get free activation when you use the offer code Todd. So don't forget that. So join Todd and make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT.
MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS.
And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Mary Walter sitting in for Todd. Coming up, we're going to talk about what is happening at the UN, because that's crazy today, too, because Benjamin Netanyahu spoke. So, of course, the usual suspects are outside, you know, rending their clothing and grabbing their pearls and screaming, yelling and behaving like children, because they're paid to do that, in my humble opinion. I think that's what's going on. Anyway, President Trump yesterday signed an executive order that allows TikTok's U.S. operations to be moved away from China, the app's China-based owner, ByteDance. I think this is huge. I never opened anything on TikTok. I have a friend who makes money on TikTok. She's like, oh my gosh, you would make some money. You should do it. I'm like, no, I don't want the Chinese having my information. And I know so many people who are like, they already have your information. I'm like, doesn't mean anything. Just because you think they already have it, why would you give them more? Like, why would you do that? So I will not get on TikTok. Maybe this will change. The deal will see TikTok's U.S. operations separated from ByteDance to comply with a law that bans social media platforms subject to control by adversarial foreign governments like China. Trump has said that he has great respect for President Xi and added that he very much appreciated that he approves the deal because to get it done properly, we really needed the support of China, the approval of China. Yeah, because it's their company. Like, I get it. You can't just take it away from them. They do that to us, but we can't do that. J.D. Vance said that the company will be valued around $14 billion in the deal. And he said the most important thing, though, is that it protects Americans' data security and ensures TikTok is still accessible. It ensures that the American entity and American investors will control the algorithm. We don't want this used as a propaganda tool by any foreign government. We want to make sure that our people and our investors actually make these decisions based on what's good for their business, as opposed to what's good for another government's propaganda arm. So the group buying this is led by Oracle, and it includes a private equity firm named Silver Lake, and UAE state-owned investment firm. Will be the main investors in TikTok with a combined 45% ownership stake. And ByteDance would own less than 20% of the firm. And then the rest is apparently shareholders, et cetera, who will own it. And the reason this is really good is the propaganda part of this, as well as the data part of this, because Pew Research just came out with a study that found that a fifth of U.S. adults now regularly get their news on TikTok, was only 3% in 2020. There's no social media platform has experienced faster growth in news consumption than TikTok. And it's mostly the adults under 30. 43% of those say that they regularly get their news from TikTok. Adults ages 30 to 49 have also increasingly been getting their news on TikTok. About 25% say they do so regularly now. That's up from just 2% 5 years ago. Of course, as you get older, the fewer people get their news from TikTok, which I happen to think that that's a good thing. When looking at adult TikTok users specifically, news consumption has also increased sharply in recent years. More than 55% of TikTok users say they regularly get news on the platform. So I guess people researching and trying to get some news and making themselves a little bit smarter is a good thing. I just don't know if TikTok is the place to do it. Coming up, chaos at the UN. We're going to talk about it right here. I'm Mary Walter. You're listening to The Todd Starn Show.
Friends, here's a reality check. Your biggest retirement expense likely isn't groceries or healthcare. It's taxes. Add inflation eating away at your dollar, and it's easy to see why so many run out of money. Lassiter Capital helps solve that problem by giving you access to real estate investments designed to generate income, protect against inflation, and provide huge tax advantages. Founder Ty Lassiter calls it the four keys to investment success. Visit LassiterCapital.com/Starnes or call 817-912-1569 to schedule your free consultation.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Mary Walter. In for Todd, it's Friday. Yay. It is Friday. So we're kind of like going right into it, aren't we? All right. Let's get to it because there's a lot to get to. The number, by the way, I know it is Friday where you can call in with anything. I know that's what Todd does, and I love that. But there's so much breaking news. I just want to get through the breaking news first, and then we'll get to your calls. Okay, 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM-5926. You can also reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. And don't forget, my live cast is on Tuesdays starting at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can join us. It's live cast. You can leave comments, ask questions. It's live on Rumble, YouTube, and Getter. Audio is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. So, yeah, I will get that audio up, I promise, sometime this weekend. I'm trying. So, okay, let's talk about what's going on with at the UN. All right. So this I saw this morning. I did not realize this, but we had Benjamin Netanyahu who was speaking today at the UN. Now, yesterday, President Trump was asked about the annexation of the West Bank. So it's interesting. The West Bank is actually on the east side of Israel. I did not know that until I was there a month and a half ago. So the West Bank is in northeastern Israel. It is the West Bank of the Dead Sea. So that's why it's called the West Bank. So, and Gaza is on the east bank of Israel on the Mediterranean. On the western side of Israel in the Mediterranean. So the Mediterranean's to the west. The Dead Sea is to the east. The West Bank's to the east at the Dead Sea, and Gaza is to the west on the Mediterranean. Now, they both, obviously Gaza is in the hands of Hamas, and the West Bank has several sections that are run by the Palestinian Authority, that are held by the Palestinian Authority. And when you go through, I was in the West Bank on our trip, because you have to go through certain sections to get to where you want to go. And you run along the border with Jordan, and there are certain sections in there, in the West Bank, that are controlled by the Palestinian Authority. And Israelis cannot enter those areas. And when you're driving in there, you see these signs, and Waze, which I did not know was an Israeli app, but Waze will say, turn around, it says danger, you can't go in this area. But we were with a guide who has this special card that allows him to go into those Palestinian controlled areas because of either trying to get to or because there are historic sites, religious sites there that are important to other, you know, to non-Muslims. So we could go through those areas. It was pretty cool. Like, you're seeing these. I was a little scared going, I'm like, oh my gosh, because the signs are red and they're written in Hebrew, English, and Arabic. And they're red and they're the ways is going boop, boop, boop. Like, it was pretty wild. But the worry now is that if Gaza stays in the hands of Hamas, which Israel does not want, that they're now vulnerable from attack for attack from both sides, which they've always have been. But if it becomes official that Palestine, that they create the state of Palestine, which, by the way, there was never a state of Palestine. But if they make Gaza Palestine, right, and gives it to the Palestinians, they now have the strong foothold for which to attack Israel. And there are Palestinians in the West Bank, up in the northeastern part of Israel. So it makes it very easy for them to come at them from both sides. So President Trump was asked about this yesterday in the Oval Office, and here's what he had to say.
It's looking like we have a deal on Gaza. And we'll let you know. Mr. President, I think it's a deal that will get the hostages back. It's going to be a deal that will end the war. It's going to be a deal which it's going to be peace. I think we have a deal. That'll be number 8, Peter. Not deal.
All right, so that was clearly not in the Oval Office, unless the cleaning people were in there. That was this morning on the way out to Marine One, and I apologize for that. Again, this is all happening so quickly that we pulled. Dylan was great, and I asked him to pull that for me, and he did. And so yesterday in the Oval Office, he said, I will not allow Israel to annex the West Bank. It's not going to happen because Israel wants to annex that now and make that all Israel. The West Bank is known to the Israelis as Judea and Samaria. Sounds very familiar if you are, you know, if you are Christian or Jewish, the Bible, there's a lot of holy lands there. We went through there because we went to go see Jericho. And we were on our way also to Nazareth, and we had to go through there. Nazareth is the largest Arab-controlled city within Israel proper, not in the West Bank. Palestinians have claimed the West Bank as part of what they want to be their state, along with Gaza. They want both. But there are Jewish settlements there in the West Bank. Jews have gone in and reclaimed old towns. They've established new communities. And there is support in Israel for annexing that whole territory for security reasons. Now, if Israel were to annex the West Bank, but not Gaza, it would still have an overwhelmingly Jewish population. But in the Arab world, annexation is off limits. So Donald Trump yesterday told reporters that he would not allow the annexation of the West Bank. So then this morning, you hear President Trump right there saying, I think we have a deal on Gaza. I think we have a deal. Now, what's interesting about this, besides everything, is that yesterday, the Qatari prime minister met with someone from Breitbart, and he with Breitbart News, and the Qatari prime minister told Breitbart News that the entire Arab world is looking to Donald Trump as the only one who can help bring peace to Gaza. Now, what is even more interesting is that when I was in Israel, I'm just going to sit here and say, pat myself on the back. We were blessed to go to the presidential palace, and we met with President Herzog, who is the president of Israel, and his wife was there. And it was just our little group. And he was so kind, and he took questions from all of us. And I asked him, and I said to him, my question was, do you believe, sir, that there are certain times in history when the right people were in the right place at the right time and managed to accomplish something other world leaders could not accomplish? For instance, taking down the Berlin Wall, you had Ronald Reagan, Pope John Paul II, and Margaret Thatcher at the right time in history. The timing was just right, and they brought down the Berlin Wall. Do you see the same situation here with peace in the Middle East? And he said to me, thank you so much for asking that question. He said he does believe it. He does believe that right now with Donald Trump, with Netanyahu and other Arab leaders in place right now, that this is the time when it can that it can happen. You have the Qatari prime minister saying that the whole Arab world is looking to Donald Trump as the only one who can help bring peace to Gaza. He told Breitbart News, I believe that the meeting with the Arab and Muslim leaders that took place with President Trump was a very important meeting. It was a very important event during the UN General Assembly. The main purpose of that is to highlight for the president the danger for the region and that we need to put a stop to what Israel is doing. Basically, it's not only jeopardizing the security of the region, it's jeopardizing even the U.S. interests in the region and jeopardizing the partnerships that the U.S. has built throughout decades in that region. The president was very receptive. He listened to all the leaders, and he wants to work together with them to find a solution to this and put an end to it. We believe that everything should start with Gaza, stopping the war in Gaza and build out from there. Because if you look at it today, Israel and Netanyahu, it's not the entire country, but it's Netanyahu setting the stage for the region that he has no boundaries, no red lines. He will do whatever he wants, wherever he wants. And in particular, I think Netanyahu lost support with the bombing inside Qatar. And he does, the Qatari prime minister, who has a very, very long name. So we're just going to refer to him as the Qatari prime minister. He mentioned that. And, you know, he noted that that was just a bridge too far for the Arab leaders. And Trump, in the meantime, hosted the Qatari prime minister at Trump Tower for discussions on this, on the matter. He also hosted Arab leaders for discussions while in New York. And he is also hosting a state visit with, he did it yesterday with the Turkish President Erdogan at the White House yesterday. So this, where this has been a topic of discussion. But with Netanyahu bombing inside Qatar in Doha was, I think he lost a lot of good faith with a lot of the Arab leaders. And that seems to me to have been a misstep. Now, so Donald Trump comes out today and says, I think we have a deal. That's what we heard this morning. All right. Coming up, I'm going to play some, Dylan will play some audio from you from the UN this morning where Netanyahu was speaking. And he makes a really good point that we kept hearing over and over and over again when we were in Israel. And I think that the message is being lost. And I don't think we understand what October 7th did to the psyche of the Israelis. All right. So we'll play that for you. And of course, there's chaos outside and the usual suspects are, you know, screaming and yelling and all of that. So I've got two cuts from Netanyahu that we will play for you coming up. And then we will speak with Joe Messina. He will be delving into the news with us as well. I'm sure he has a lot to say about this. There's so much coming up on the Todd Stern Show.
Your sausage McMuffin with egg didn't change. Your receipt did. The sausage McMuffin with egg extra value meal includes a hash brown and a small coffee for just $5. Only at McDonald's for a limited time.
Prices and participation may vary.
Welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Mary Walter in for Todd. We've got Joe Messina coming up. So at the UN yesterday, you had a Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, who spoke virtually because Donald Trump wouldn't let him in the country, wouldn't give him a visa. And everybody was there and they stood up and they applauded after he spoke, like they applauded, which I don't understand this. I don't get this. I don't understand any of this. It, to me, it's just it's a mental illness. It's kind of like I'm against Trump because Trump's for Israel. I'm against Israel. And I want to go to Cut 12. When we were in Israel a month and a half ago, the one thing that they just kept telling us over and over again that was that October 7th was Israel's 9/11. And I want you to hear what Netanyahu says here comparing that attack to a proportional attack on the U.S.
Now, just imagine, just sit back for a second and imagine an attack against America proportioned to the attack against Israel on October 7th. Imagine a regime, a terror regime, dispatching thousands of terrorists to invade the United States. They massacre 40,000 Americans. They take 10,000 Americans hostage. What do you think America would do? You think America would leave that regime standing? You don't think that. No way, not a chance. The United States would wipe out that terror regime and ensure that such savagery would never threaten America again. This is precisely what Israel is doing in Gaza. We're wiping out the terror regime of Hamas and ensuring that this savagery will never threaten Israel again. That's what we are doing. That's what any self-respecting government would do.
Now, there's very little applause because the vast majority of the delegates walked out because they're cowards. When you can't handle what someone has to say, you're so brave getting up and walking out because you don't want to hear what he has to say. But that's right. What do you think would happen in this country if all the cartels in Mexico got together and Mexico's harboring them and they crossed over the border into Southern America and they slaughtered 40,000 Americans and took over 10,000 hostage? What do you think this country would do? Mexico would be gone right now. We would own it. We would own Mexico. So why is it understandable when we would do it, but not understandable when Israel would do it? Now, Netanyahu also revealed in his speech that he was addressing a much wider audience. He revealed that his speech was played on speakers surrounding the Gaza Strip, and it was being streamed to Gazans' cell phones. You got to admire, they're really good with the technology. Very good. He revealed that he gave his speech in both Hebrew and English. And what he said, our brave heroes, this is Prime Minister Netanyahu speaking to you live from the United Nations. We have not forgotten you, not even for a second. The people of Israel are with you. We will not falter and we will not rest until we bring all of you home, speaking to the hostages. And remember, this could all be over if they would release the hostages, yet they refuse to do so. Here's one more part of Netanyahu's speech. I thought it was brilliant, where he gives the delegates a pop quiz.
So let's do something else. So first at the UN, let's do a pop quiz and raise your hand if you know the answer. Here's the first question. Who shouts death to America? Is it A, Iran, B, Hamas, C, Hezbollah, D, the Houthis, or E, all of the above? All of the above. Correct. All of the above. Second question. Who has murdered Americans and Europeans in cold blood? Is it A, Al-Qaeda, B, Hamas, C, Hezbollah, D, Iran, or E, all of the above? Correct. Again.
And they didn't want to hear that. The cowards that walked out didn't want to hear that because they are cowards. I don't understand. And we put these people on security councils and everything else. And I don't know. I got to tell you, I just think when you look at it with the numbers with the United States, and if the same thing happened to this country, how we would have responded versus how Israel's allowed to respond. To me, it changes everything. Once I heard that, I'm like, wow, now I get it. Now I get it. All right, coming up, Joe Messina will be joining us here. We'll talk to him about Israel. We'll talk about that, all the news. And we have so much more that we want to get to as well. By the way, Joanne Chesimard, speaking of news, also known as Asada Shakur. She was on the FBI's most wanted list for decades. She left, she broke out of a Jersey prison in 79. She went to Cuba. She is now dead. She has died, Cuba reporting that Asada Shakur is gone. Being a Jersey resident, she was convicted of killing a New Jersey state trooper. I still see that plaque on Route 78 in New Jersey, heading west. Haven't seen it in a while. But yeah, good riddance to bad rubbish, right? There she goes. But she did get to live in Cuba for a long time. So unfortunately, that's that. All right, Joe Messina. Joining us next, I'm Mary Walter. You're listening to The Todd Starnes Show.
Hey,
And here we are, happy Friday from the Todd Starn Show. I'm Mary Walter. Todd is back with you on Monday. You can find me on X at Mary Walter Radio. You can find our guest on X as well, Joe Messina. He's nationally syndicated radio host. You hear him right here. You can also find him on X at Joe Messina. Hey, Joe, great to speak with you.
Oh, Mary, I'm glad to be on with you.
And it's joemessina.com. I forget that as well. So, Joe, you know, I don't know what we're going to talk about because there's really nothing going on in the world. this is probably going to be pretty boring.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had a whole show prepared, and you understand this. You have a whole show prepared, and then you wake up in the morning and go, all right, well, that was a waste of time, and you have to blow it up and start. So let's start with the indictment of James Comey on two counts. And, well, first of all, let's get your thoughts on that. Did you ever think you were going to see this day?
No, not really. I didn't think I was going to see it, but I got to tell you, I'm not overly excited still. You know how Republicans are. And the fact that they're going to have a grand jury right there in Virginia, I think, they had the grand jury. They lost one of the charges, right? One of the charges the grand jury wouldn't go for. So they have two left, which is kind of interesting because grand juries very rarely throw out a charge or don't vote for a charge. So it's kind of iffy for me. And I'm not so sure he ever even makes it to court, sincerely.
Well, they're obviously going to ask for the charges to be thrown out, obviously.
Right.
But the judge used to work for him.
I know.
So,
okay.
How does this happen? How does this happen? And it's insane. Trump always gets the judge that hates him or the prosecutor that actually campaigned on getting Donald Trump. And James Comey gets a judge who's just randomly assigned, because, you know, they're just randomly assigned, who used to work for James Comey. That's insane.
Well, you know, now, Mary, I think you're getting a little crazy here because, you know, nobody's above the law. And, you know, everything's done. Everything's done upright and right in front of you as they've been doing for years. And I agree with you. Look, if he gets to the court, I really would be surprised. If he gets convicted, I would really be surprised. And I'm a pretty optimistic person. I really think that they should have taken that to another jurisdiction if they could have pulled it off. Sincerely, I see the only thing I see coming out of this as positive is I'm hoping that we hear a lot of testimony.
Yeah, if it actually makes it.
Yeah.
You know, they got it into Virginia. They had to get it out of D.C. And they got it into the Eastern District, which if it had stayed in D.C., he wouldn't have been indicted. Like, that would have been it.
Right.
And this is a big problem that has to be addressed. We need to overhaul our legal system. But unfortunately, we're asking lawyers to overhaul their legal system. So nothing's going to happen.
We're asking Republicans in Congress to help. It's not going to happen either. I said this last year, even before we won. I said, look, I know everybody's all excited. Looks like we're going to get the Senate. Looks like we're going to get the House and get the presidency. And what will we actually get done? Because I'm really, you know, Johnson should have been right behind the president. Every time he signed an EO, there should have been a bill put on the table. You know what I mean? Call out the Democrats that show how they don't want to vote for these single item issues. Just like the continuing resolution right now, right? I mean, all they had to do was copy the last one and say, come on, we're going to push this out for a little bit here and we'll come back to the table. But no, they want to turn around everything that went in the big, beautiful bill, and this is how they operate. So our people have to get stronger, Mary. They got to be willing to stand there shoulder to shoulder and go, no, you guys aren't getting away with this, period.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got a message on X, which, by the way, you can find Joe on X at Joe Messina. Super easy. And he said, Comey's already been acquitted.
Well, he's probably about 80% close to right there, you know, seriously. It is amazing. Go ahead.
So let's go to the UN, because that broke this morning. And you had these really super brave delegates who got up and walked out on Netanyahu. There was seriously, like, my high school class was larger than the number of people that were in this, stayed to watch his speech at the UN. And I think it's childish. I think it's cowardly. But yet they loudly applauded and stood up for the Palestinian Authority leader, who was doing it remotely, virtually, because Trump wouldn't give them a visa to come into the country because we consider them a terrorist group. So, you know, the values to me are just why the UN's unnecessary. UN, unnecessary. Can we just get rid of them?
I'm with you. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'd rather spend the money building them a new building out there in Saudi or you know, in Iran or what have you. Let them go out there and deal with it in the Middle East. And matter of fact, when I first saw that video, I thought those were the Democrats walking out of the Texas House, you know, before they did the voting on the redistricting. I mean, because that's what cowards do. If they think they're going to lose, they retreat. They run away. They don't stay and fight. And frankly, I don't know. Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement with you. The UN needs to go. That building could be, you know what, all the homeless people, why don't we just start doing that? We start getting rid of them floor by floor, and we put all the homeless people in that building. It'd be a great repurposing of that building, don't you think?
That is prime real estate in Turtle Bay there on the east side of Manhattan. That, I mean, it's difficult to get to if you're taking the train. You know, if you're coming into Penn Station or Union State, it's hard to get to. Well, not so much Union State, but Penn Station's tough. And so, you know, getting over there is a little hard. But it's prime real estate. You know, there are tons of people that I'm sure would love. And listen, New York needs the income, right? They need the taxes. Yep. The only fly in that ointment is when Mondami's running things and then nobody wants to live there.
Yep. You are, and you know what, I've been watching, I don't know about you, but I've been watching a lot of little short videos of people in the street. He's going to get in. I can't see how he doesn't get in, because the average person on the street is talking about, I can't wait to have more affordable housing, free food, free this, free that. I'm going, oh, sweet Jesus, it's not free, number one. And, you know, why don't we put a couple of those, 747-800s together, and we send these people that really love socialism to these countries that have socialism. And let them, you know, give a 30-day visa. Here you go. Let's see how you make out of them. And let them see truly what it's really all about.
They truly believe that it just hasn't been done right. And we're going to do it right.
Yeah, I know.
That, which, you know, and so you can talk to them and you could send them somewhere else and they're still going to say, you know, they're going to say, well, they're just not doing it right. You know, that's why there's nothing right here. And honestly, it is free to them because they're not going to be paying for it. The problem is when the few people who actually have an income in New York, you know, who can actually really afford Manhattan are going to pick up and leave. And they've already lost so much. I think the largest transfer of wealth was during the pandemic from Manhattan to Palm Beach County.
Yep.
And that's exactly just right. Going to continue. And most of the people I think who are out there protesting and this and that, they're all paid. But the problem is that most New Yorkers do not vote. They have a notoriously low voter turnout for things like mayor. Yep. So, you know what? I kind of feel like that's on you.
Oh, no, you know? I'm in total agreement with you. I always talk about, on my show, I always talk about how we should stop bailing out Chicago and Seattle and L.A. because they vote these people in. Why are we paying for your mistakes when we don't have a say in it on the front end? You know, and go back to New York City for a second. You know, the thing that really hurts is you got a lot of mom-and-pop stores there. You got a lot of small, you know, stores where these people have put their life savings into them. And, you know, they're eking out a living. And when Mondami comes in, this is gone for them. This really hurts that little guy big time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But they don't care. They're so, and I hate to say this because I try to be fair. I try to walk that line. But I just believe that, because I know some of them, and these are people who are smart. Like, they're smart people. They're not dummies. Yeah. But they just hate Trump so much that they say some of the dumbest stuff and do some of the dumbest things and believe just stuff that, like, if you think about it, makes no sense whatsoever. But because their emotions override their brain power, they can't get through it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, the Tylenol thing over the last few days, I'm looking at that. Just,
yep.
And I'm laughing in a sad way because their hate for him is so encompassing that they don't think about the harm they could be doing to their baby. And even Tylenol has put out several warnings. I think it goes all the way back to 2006 where they've said, look, if you're pregnant, don't take this or take it sparingly. I don't understand why, we have an illiterate electorate to a big degree these days, and the education system is massively at fault for this.
It was done purposely. I believe it was done purposely to keep them
ignorant. Oh, I agree.
Ignorant.
You and I are on the same page. Yep.
We taught an entire generation what to think. We did not teach them how to think. They don't understand critical thinking. You know, when we were in school, because I went to school with Moses, so when Moses and I were in school, we would get things from the teacher about, like, okay, here's the problem, and you had to work it out yourself, and you had to think about it. You had to do it, or we got, you know, a problem solving sheet, and it says, you know, whoever does it the fastest will win, da 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 da. But and then when you read, so she would always tell you, read the directions first, and kids would go through, because as soon as it said fastest time wins, they would just start solving the problems and doing all that. And then when you got to the end of the directions, though, it said whoever doesn't fill out the problems wins. You know, to teach kids to read and yep. to reason and to figure out what the hell you're doing before you just pop off.
Oh no, totally agree. Look at, I went to school. Matter of fact, I graduated high school the year of the tall ships. I grew up in Boston, and you know, my wife, we were just talking about this weekend, and I said, you know, it's funny because now that I think back, you know, doing the show for all these years, and I think back, I was being set up in high school. I had left professors or left teachers that were kind of making fun of the country in a backhanded way, and we're setting us up for all this. But Mary, go back even further. Think about something. In the days of Jim Crow, the reason you couldn't educate a black person is because they would figure out a way to get out of the situation they were in. They would be educated enough to push back and fight back. And to your point right. a few minutes ago, right, they've been doing this for decades in our education system. I'll go back to the 70s because that's when I was in high school. They've been dumbing us down since the 70s so that we're at a point now where you have young kids who can't figure out whether girls or boys. They think all the founding fathers were old, fat, white guys that hated black folks. I mean, think about what they've been taught over the decades, and I think that's why we're in the situation we're in now.
Yeah. Lastly, I don't know if you saw this. This just crossed my feed here just now, but Bruce Springsteen, he's a voluntary prisoner in the People's Socialist Republic of New Jersey. Someone that when I was younger, you know, was just the backdrop for my whole teenage years and my formative yep. years was Bruce Springsteen. But then, you know, he became a limousine liberal and totally forgot his roots. He told Time magazine that Democrats are going to remain irrelevant and ineffective if they don't find someone who can speak to the majority of Americans. He said, we're desperately in need of an effective alternative party, or the Democrats need to find someone who can speak to the majority of the nation. There is a problem with the language that they're using and the way they're trying to reach people. Now, he's just you know, regurgitating that study that came out a little while ago about, you know, words that you can't say. You know, guys try to use normal people words, and they had to be told what normal people words are. And he's a big, famous liberal hack. Are Democrats going to wake up? Do we have to worry about them actually getting it together by the midterms?
Well, I think you're seeing some of the old-time Democrats, like him, starting to speak up now and going, well, wait a minute, AOC's our leader? This nut job out of California, you know, Newsom is our leader? Are you serious? And I think they're starting to see the writing on the wall. They saw their recent, what was it? They had their lowest approval rating since the 70s or something, and it went back years. And I think they're starting to see that, you know, common sense has left the party. And it's all about what they can gin up with the young folks. You know, it's really funny because they're banking big time on the young people, and yet the young people are leaving the party for either Republicans or declining the state or whatever it is. But young people are leaving their party. They're starting to see the craziness that's going on. So, and I think this thing with Charlie Kirk also really lit a spark in the young folks going, wait a minute. Yeah, I hated the guy. I didn't like the guy. I didn't like what he stood for, but I don't want him dead. I didn't want him killed. And if our party is applauding that, maybe I don't belong here.
Yeah, no, I think that it started before Charlie. We saw it in the 2024 yep. election with the majority of under 30 males voting yep. for Trump. You know, he captured that. And I think it's because their whole lives we've been telling them that just by being male, you're toxic. And especially if you're white. If you're white, forget it. You're useless. You're racist. You're homophobic. You're this, you're that. You're everything else.
Yep.
And, you know, you do that to someone for quite some time. After a while, if they make it through the depression part of all of that, if they actually literally survive through that, they're like, you know what? Screw you. I want nothing to do with you. I'm going over here.
Yep.
And that's what happened. Yep. And, you know, Charlie facilitated that. And it's going to be interesting to see how that continues. I don't know if the answer is like Megyn Kelly. And, you know, like I saw her interaction. I thought, okay, that was fine, but way too combative for Charlie. You know, like we'll have to see how that goes. I don't know.
No, Mary, I agree with you. I've been thinking about it myself. They've got the people that have the core values to pull it off. But I don't know if they have the character, demeanor, whatever you want to call it, to be able to pull it off. Because you're right. I mean, she was right on with her responses. But if there's even a hint that any of them are talking down to those kids, it's over. Charlie's never talked down to any of them. He brought them on face-to-face, hit them with facts, and made sure he told them that he cared about them. And that's why he was telling them what he was telling them.
Yeah, absolutely. They need somebody. And also, someone as smart as Charlie, man, his knowledge used to blow me away on a regular basis. Like, he could cite chapter, verse, literally of the Bible. And he, right? Like, literally, like, he goes, I think it's da-da-da-da, and he's right. His brain just functioned in a way that he was just perfect for that role in his life. Joe Messina, I got to let you go. Thank you so much for joining me. He's the host of the Joe Messina Show, based out in the People's Socialist Republic of California. God bless you. You can find him on X at Joe Messina and also joemessina.com. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too, Mary. God bless. Keep up the good work.
God bless. Thank you for joining me here. All right. We've got more coming up. Don't you go anywhere. And oh, one more thing. If you love this country and you're concerned about the direction we're headed, got to tell you, there's something that you can do about this right now. Join AMAC. It's the Association of Mature American Citizens. They are the conservative alternative to AARP, and they're standing up for the values that built this nation: faith, freedom, family, and common sense. AMAC members get some great benefits. You're going to get deep discounts on travel, insurance, and prescription drugs. You're going to get exclusive member resources and a subscription to the AMAC magazine. It's one of the best publications out there for patriotic Americans. The best part, you can join for as little as $1.20 a month with a 5-year membership. So check it out. Go to amac.us/Starnes, amac.us/Starnes, and join the fight to keep America strong. All right, we are back. I'm going to quickly go to Georgia, to Joe in Georgia, who has been patiently waiting, because I know it is Friday where you can talk about whatever you want. And we've just had so much breaking news, and we are not done with it. I have one more piece of breaking news for you, but we'll do that on the other side of the top of the hour. So let's go to Joe here. Joe, thank you so much for your patience. I appreciate you calling back, and welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Happy Friday.
Mary, thank you very much. You're doing a great job substituting for Todd. I just want to say that we're in investor heaven. The stock market under Trump is breaking every record, and I also think that we conservatives, we love is my favorite word. I'm against all violence, and I think most conservatives, or all conservatives, are. But anyway, I feel like we're in great shape in the country with Trump. Stock market breaking all records. And I believe that the happy days are here again. And
good. I love it. That's a great way to end this hour. Thank you so much.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Mary Walter with you on this Friday. It's Friday. Isn't it a crazy week? I don't know. Maybe you had like a really calm week, and that's great, and I'm happy for you. But man, for me, this week has just been just insane, and I've got a crazy day tomorrow. My alarm went off this morning, and my husband's off today, and he just looked at me. He said, "You realize we have to be at church at 8 a.m. this time. Like, we have to be at church this time tomorrow." And I was like, oh. So like, all right, the things we do, right? Okay, so more breaking news. As if you have not had enough breaking news in this show, There's more. We are just chock full of it. Okay. So the FBI, and this is getting lost in all this other stuff, but the FBI has acknowledged that it had 275 plainclothes agents in the crowds on January 6, 2021. Now, it's taken them more than 4.5 years to admit this. According to the DOJ, OIG, Office of Inspector General, put out an 88-page report that was released in December of 2024. Now, listen to what they said in that report. We found no evidence in the materials we reviewed or the testimonies we received showing or suggesting that the FBI had undercover employees in the various protest crowds or at the Capitol on January 6th. Interesting, because that was December of 2024. Now, there seems to be a question as to whether undercover agent is the same as a plainclothes agent, because they didn't use the same terminology. But for the layman, like, we're all going, wait, so you lied in December of 2024, or you didn't have the information almost 4 years later? Something's not right. Like, we know that there's something's not right with this whole thing. We know this. The same report disclosed that 26 FBI confidential human sources, CHS, that's what they're called, were in the crowd. Four of them entered the Capitol illegally. My hunch is they were not prosecuted. The DOJ Inspector General said only three of the FBI informants had been assigned by the Bureau to come to Washington and report on domestic terrorism subjects who were possibly attending the event. So I don't know why the fourth one just came along for the party. I don't know. Of the 26 informants, four entered the Capitol. None of them were authorized by the FBI to break the law or enter a restricted area. Nor was any confidential human source directed by the FBI to encourage others to commit illegal acts on January 6th. Interesting. But yet they did. They entered illegally. We now know that. Now they're admitting it. And I'm telling you, we're going to find out by the time this is all said and done, because Congressman Barry Loudermilk is the chair of the new House January 6th Select Subcommittee. It's not going to be that show that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats put on. They actually had someone, I think it was from ABC, come and produce that. And remember, they were putting up pictures of tweets that we know were false, that had been doctored. They got rid of evidence, which they were not legally allowed to do, but they did it anyway. And no one has been held accountable, and nor will anyone be held accountable, because Congress is above the law. If you're part of the ruling elite in this country, especially if you have a D after your name, you are above the law. No matter how much they look at you and go, well, no one's above the law, when it applies to you, they scream mightily and somehow wind up to be above the law every single time themselves. Jamal Bowman, for one, but he didn't get reelected, so that was his comeuppance. Loudermilk said in a September 23rd appearance on Just the News with John Solomon, he said, but with that many paid informants being in the crowd, we want to know how many were in the crowd, how many were in the building, and I also want to know, were they paid to inform or to instigate? We still don't know that. How do we not know that these are government employees and we don't know? In a May 2024 court filing, a former January 6th defendant named William Pope listed nearly 50 FBI agents and others working under the Bureau's auspices on January 6th, such as officers from the Joint Terrorism Task Force, Naval Criminal Investigative Service, U.S. Army Counterintelligence, and other agents who later wrote probable cause affidavits for January 6th arrest warrants. So they were there. They wrote the probable cause arrest warrants. It is not clear whether those personnel would be part of the 275 employees disclosed to Congress by the FBI now. Now, undercover Metropolitan Police Department, that's the DC police, the MPD, Metropolitan Police Department were also undercover. And they acknowledged inciting the crowds by helping protesters climb over barriers, encouraging them to continue onto the Capitol, and applauding those who committed vandalism. They urged it on. They helped in the commission of crimes. Police department officers, Metropolitan PD, who were quote unquote undercover, Most of the video footage that was shot by dozens of those officers on January 6th has never been made public. And there have been numerous motions to try to get that video public, but it has not been made public. We, the people, have the right to know, don't we? We have the right to know if our government was involved in staging an quote-unquote insurrection, just like they did with the Russia hoax. They did that whole thing to try to hang it on Trump so they could impeach him. We know that. We now know that. That they went to the lengths that they went to keep Donald Trump out of office, and then they created this to try to use it. They created a fake crime with fake evidence, our government, to try to impeach the president of the United States. They couldn't impeach him, but they hampered his ability to govern. They interfered with the democratic process that the left screams about so much. We have to preserve democracy. Donald Trump's a literal threat to democracy. They care so much about democracy that they were more than willing to subvert it in order to get their way. That's not a surprise. We need to know if this was yet another ploy by them to make sure that Donald Trump was unelectable. And it worked. I think it did. And they don't want us to know, which is why we know that the January 6th committee, which was a sham, they're investigating. This is kind of like the Mueller report investigating their own crime. The Mueller report was put together to investigate their own crime. And shockingly, they found nothing. Who knew? And John Durham also found nothing. What about him? And now I think we're going to find out that the January 6th committee, I think we already know that the January 6th committee, which was put together, we're going to find out that they found nothing because they were investigating a crime the government put on themselves, that they concocted in order to make Donald Trump unelectable. These are the lengths that they would go to, which is why I'm telling you right now, in my humble opinion, there is no way Donald Trump is in the Epstein files, because if Trump was in the Epstein files, they wouldn't have had to do any of this. All they had to do was, just like they did with his tax returns, some low-level employee leaked it out. I don't know what happened. And they play dumb and they leak it out to ruin him. That's exactly what would have happened. But he is not in there because they went through all of this. And just because they thought that they would never be found out because Donald Trump was never going to get reelected. And they may still not be found out. Is James Comey going to be prosecuted? Yeah, and I'm going to win the lottery, okay? I think we both know both of those things are not happening. I cannot tell you how many Powerball tickets I bought, my husband and I bought. We didn't win a dollar. We didn't get $1. Not one. And I'm pretty sure James Comey isn't going to walk away with one conviction. I don't even think that's going to happen. All right, let's move on. So Kamala Harris is flapping her gums, and I love this, because she's on the, I'm just going to destroy any semblance of a political career tour that she could possibly have. She's hoping to make bank. She's going to pay $20 million to write a book that's not selling because every excerpt from the book has already been made public, and nobody wants to read Kamala Harris's, whoever wrote it. I'm sure she didn't write it. Nobody wants to read it, but she got $20 million. So, you know, whether it sells or not, that's what she got. That's insane. I got to get me one of those. So in one section of her book, 107 Days, she discussed planning the Democratic National Convention. And she said it was, quote, in the party's best interest to highlight our stars while we make it as entertaining as possible. You know, because it has to be fun. She said, when I became VP, I had a secret project. I called it the Stars Project that only my senior team knew about. We'd brainstorm about the younger talents in the party. And then on Friday afternoons, I'd invite one or another to visit my office in the West Wing or the residence. Several were nervous, but she said, you know, I think you're very talented. What are you working on? How can I help you? You know, because Mamala is just so caring. She said, many of those on my list spoke at the convention, and she names a whole bunch of people, including Jasmine Crockett. Now, Crockett is no, we are not a fan. The people on the right are not a fan of Jasmine Crockett. She compared ICE to, quote, slave patrols, and she supports defunding the police and on and on. Well, she, a post, she kind of alluded to this STAR project in a post from a Texas politics-based account, shared, quote, Kamala Harris had a secret project only known to senior staff called the Stars Project to privately mentor rising stars in the party. She made sure that many of them received speaking slots during the convention. That is why Jasmine Crockett was talking about it in her speech at the DNC. Crockett did reference a meeting with Harris in her speech at the DNC. She said, when I first got to Congress, I wasn't sure I made the right decision. The Chaos Caucus couldn't elect a speaker, and the Oversight Committee was unhinged. I was going through all of this when I visited the Vice President's residence for the first time. As I approached Vice President Harris for our official photo, she turned to me and asked, what's wrong? Now, mind you, we never met, but she saw right through me. She saw the distress. I immediately began crying, and the most powerful woman in the world wiped my tears and listened. She said that Harris told her, you are exactly where God wants you. Your district, should I do it in Kamala Harris? Your district chose you because they believe in you, and so do I. And then Crockett said, next month I went viral for the first of many times to come for hitting Republicans with a dose of their own medicine. That brief but impactful interaction gave me my legislative legs, and I've been running ever since. So coming up. I've got President Trump talking about Jasmine Crockett, and he threw a little Ilhan Omar in on the side for good measure. And then later, my gift to you on this Friday to go into your weekend from my friend Mike Opelka, we have a little Kamala Harris as you've never heard her before. So that'll be coming up on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Not only are we back, but America is back. It's time to stand with a bank that shares your values. Old Glory Bank. They support hardworking Americans, small businesses, and your constitutional rights. So there's no cancel culture, no woke nonsense. They're just a bank that believes in faith, freedom, and the flag. Join the movement today at oldglorybank.com/Starnes and be a part of something bigger. Trust the FDIC-insured bank that was created to protect your privacy, security, and your liberty. Old Glory Bank. So, very just quickly, breaking news. Sinclair, the television group, the media group that had ended Jimmy Kimmel, said we're not going to carry it anymore, has reversed course, and now they're going to carry Jimmy Kimmel. So, there you go. Oh, well. I listen, I think it's going to die on its own. The show is just going to die on its own because it's really not that good. And people haven't been watching it. Let it continue the downward slide and let Jimmy Kimmel bankrupt ABC, etc. So we were talking about Jasmine Crockett and Ilhan Omar, and Kamala Harris considered Jasmine Crockett one of her rising stars. She's part of the stars. She was her star project. So this came out yesterday. So cut 7, Donald Trump is in the Oval Office. He's taking questions from reporters. Remember, it never happened during the Biden administration. Taking questions from reporters. And one of them goes to ask a question about this with Jasmine Crockett. Here you go.
Jasmine Crockett. Is she a relation to the late great Davy Crockett? I don't think so. Jasmine Crockett, let me tell you, before you even ask, she's a very low IQ person. I mean, if we ever had to pass an aptitude test, that's the one should take one, because she shouldn't even be in the crowd. So I have no idea what you're going to, but I don't think we should waste our time. This is a low IQ person who I can't even believe is a congressperson. Between her and Ilhan Omar and the group. You know, I met the head of Somalia. Did you know that? And I suggested that maybe he'd like to take her back. And he didn't want her. He said, I don't want her.
I'm sorry. And I know the left is like, oh, that's terrible. I can't believe he said that. It's hilarious. It is hilarious. I met the head of Somalia and asked if he wanted to take her back. He said, we don't want her. Refilling, and he can't say her name, Ilhan Omar. He called her Ilhan Omar. I forget exactly what he called her, but he can't even say her name. Hilarious, just hilarious. Okay, so Pete Hegseth ordered a rare, urgent meeting with admirals. So we're going to go to cut six, and this is Jennifer Griffith on Fox explaining what's happening.
The meeting first reported by the Washington Post has since been confirmed by Fox News. 800 generals, admirals, and their senior enlisted aides have been ordered from their posts around the world to Washington, D.C. to gather in an auditorium at Marine Base Quantico in Virginia on Tuesday. The officers have not been told what the meeting is about. The invitation has sent shockwaves through an already fearful officer corps who have been on the receiving end of angry outbursts by Secretary Hegseth, who routinely threatens to submit them to polygraphs. Some express concerns that bringing all the military brass to one location in D.C. is an unnecessary security risk and question why the meeting cannot be held on a secure video teleconference call, especially at a time of rising global threats and cost-cutting as the government faces a possible shutdown. Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell confirmed the meeting but gave no details other than Secretary Hegseth, quote, will be addressing his senior military leaders early next week.
So nobody knows why. Nobody knows what's happening. This is very rare and considered urgent, but nobody knows why. And none of the people who spoke at the Post could recall a defense secretary ever ordering so many of the military's generals and admirals to assemble. And several said it raised concerns. People are really concerned. They have no idea what this means. One person said, you don't call general officers or flag officers leading their people and the global force into an auditorium outside D.C. and not tell them why or what the topic or agenda is. Are we taking every general and flag officer out of the Pacific right now? All of this is very weird. It's going to be interesting to see exactly what happens. And I got to tell you, now it's not getting a lot of play. I don't know about you, but it doesn't give me the warm fuzzies. Right? It just doesn't give me the whole, it's okay. Like, I'm good. No worries. Like, why? All right. Coming up, some news about Dr. Ben Carson and also some good news for our farmers and also some good news out of New Jersey. And then our gift to you with Kamala Harris. We'll do that heading into your weekend here on the Todd Starn Show. Almost there to our little surprise for you, courtesy of my friend Mike Opelka, who is also a radio person, shared it with me. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect for Friday. So I held on to it until today. And Dylan cherry picked the best ones to share with you. Now, I got to share this with you because this is really, really incredible. Because for those of us who bought My Pillows at full price, listen to this. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order. So that leaves MyPillow with this big overstock of classic MyPillows. So you know what? You're going to benefit from that. Now, for a limited time, MyPillow is offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. You can get a standard MyPillow for just $17.98. You want more? You can upgrade to queen size for only $22.98. King size, $24.98. Body pillows, those beautiful body pillows, $29.98. And versatile multi-use pillows for just $9.98. That's crazy. Visit MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 to score those amazing deals. Remember, you got to use the promo code STARNS, though. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you will receive $100 in free digital gifts with no strings attached. That's right. Premium pillows at unbeatable prices. This is like crazy prices. And bonus gifts to top it off. Now, don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use the promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $17.98. While supplies last. So hurry up because it's only while supplies last. We love those pillows. I'm not even kidding. We have them for our guest room. We have them. We've given them as gifts. Like, they're phenomenal and cost way more than that when I bought them. So I'm a tad jealous. So, all right. So I told you I had some news about Dr. Ben Carson. He headed up House and Department of Housing and Urban Development. He headed up HUD during Trump's first term. Well, he just joined the second term on Wednesday in a Department of Agriculture advisory role. He was sworn in by the Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins. He is going to be the Department of Agriculture's National Advisor for Nutrition, Health, and Housing. And I love this for him. Dr. Carson's so smart. He's like crazy, crazy smart, but very simple. He's very soft-spoken, as you know, but he doesn't come off as like above anybody when you speak to him. Great guy. And he said, and I love that he's going to be doing nutrition, health, and housing, because remember, he was homeless when he was growing up. He lived in his car for a while with his brother and his mother. And yet she stressed education and she stressed doing the right things and she stressed keeping them off the streets. And look where he is now. So he knows he's the perfect person for this, just like he was the perfect person for HUD. He said, today, too many Americans are suffering from the effects of poor nutrition. Through common sense policymaking, we have an opportunity to give our most vulnerable families the tools they need to flourish. I am honored to work with Secretary Rollins on these important initiatives to help fulfill President Trump's vision for a healthier, stronger America. He did an interview with Newsmax on Wednesday and said, you know what? You are what you eat. This administration really wants to look from its inception, from how we conduct our planting, our harvesting, how it gets to your plate, what things are done to it that are good, what things in the past have been done that are bad, and what's good for your health. You know, the science. I added that. Rollins added, with 6 in 10 Americans living with at least one chronic disease and rural communities facing unique challenges with respect to housing, Dr. Carson's insight and experience is critical. You know what I think we're back to? The Amish. We keep coming back to the Amish. And I could not live that way. Although I would have great arms if I churned butter. But I could not live that way. But they don't take it. They don't eat the way we eat. They live clean lifestyles. You got to hand it to them. Now, let's stay with the farmers. Let's stay with that. And let's go to cut 8. This is President Trump in the Oval Office. And he pledged to help the farmers because the farmers are taking a hit. They're expected to go through a really tough time with the tariffs. And we got to keep our farmers going. We're losing so much farming in this country to China buying the farms and also to, you know, got to pave paradise to put up a condo. And that's happening more and more and more. So here's President Trump talking about how he's going to help the farmers.
I'm going to devote a little bit of that money, a little bit of the tariff money to our farmers. Our farmers have been incredible. They're the ones that let us survive and eat and enjoy our lives, right? Eat too much, maybe, in some cases, like mine. But I will tell you, we're going to take some of the tariff money, relatively small amount, but a lot for the farmers. And we're going to help the farmers out a little bit, because during this transition period, a period where we're taking in incredible amounts of money, we'll have a little bit of a shortfall with the farmers until the tariffs kick in, because they haven't kicked in for the farmers yet.
That sounds great, as long as the money really gets to the farmers. And that's where I start to get nervous. Our poor farmers, you know, they trust, they help, they really want to feed America. We need them. We have an entire generation that doesn't know where, you know, oranges come from. They come from the store. It's like, all right, you're going to be hungry. So I think we have to take care of them. Now, my question is it going to really meet them? Is it really going to get to them? And that's where I question. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that is going to happen. So some more good news. I know you can't take this much good news. More good news. A new Emerson College poll finds Jack Cittarelli. He's running as the GOP candidate in New Jersey, and the Democrat candidate, Mikey Sherrill, are locked in a statistical tie in New Jersey's governor race. This is super important. They each have 43% support. 11% of voters are undecided. My hunch, they're not going to vote. And 3% are voting for somebody else because, yeah, throw your vote away, whatever. President Trump, on Truth Social yesterday, posted the poll results, and he posted a message praising Jack Cittarelli as tough on crime and cutting taxes. And he wrote that Cittarelli will be a great governor, and he criticized Mikey Sherrill for supporting open borders, men playing in women's sports, transgender for everyone, and all of the things that almost destroyed America, and adding that she's a big supporter of the perhaps future communist mayor of New York. Now, so there seems to be a little issue in the midst of this. NARA, which is the National Archives and Records Administration, and a branch of them that's responsible to hold military records, accidentally released a mostly unredacted version of her military records to a man named Nicholas DiGregorio. He's an ally of Jack Cittarelli. And they also released it to CBS News. Apparently people filed FOIA requests and they wanted to know about her military career because she constantly says, you know, how are you going to solve inflation? How are you going to make things cheaper? Well, I was a Navy helicopter pilot. That's all she says. Like that's all she says. She is very much like Kamala Harris. And so this guy, Nicholas DiGregorio, filed a FOIA act. He said, I've never done one before. I didn't know what's best. So I get it. And he goes, and then I get the papers. And he said, I was shocked to see what I got. So the documents, as I said, were also obtained by CBS News, and they appear to show that the National Personnel Records Center, which is part of the National Archives and Record Administration, NARA, released her full military file almost completely unredacted. CBS discovered this while investigating whether Cheryl was involved in this 1994 Naval Academy scandal in which more than 100 midshipmen were implicated in cheating on an exam. She was not accused of cheating, and she said her only involvement was not informing on her fellow classmate. Now, because she would not inform on fellow classmates, she was not allowed to walk in her graduation ceremony. So that's what tipped CBS off. They saw that. And so they filed the FOIA request because she did not appear in the commencement program. She's like, oh, why did she not appear? So they thought there was more to the story. She had an unblemished career in the Navy and as a midshipman received a Navy Achievement Medal in 1991 for saving the life of a fellow classmate. But because she would not talk about anybody else, she did not get to walk in her graduation ceremony. She said, when I was an undergraduate at the Naval Academy, I didn't turn in some of my classmates, so I didn't walk, but graduated and was commissioned as an officer in the U.S. Navy, serving for nearly 10 years with the highest level of distinction and honor. Now, DiGregorio, for his part, is a Marine vet. He unsuccessfully ran as a Republican for governor in New Jersey, and I don't even remember that. Given the charged political environment, Representative Cheryl will no doubt seek to paint my actions as nefarious and the records leaked by the Trump administration to injure her, which, as we both know, is completely and totally false on both accounts. Because I'll tell you right now, NARA is no friend to Donald Trump. So they said that there was someone, you know, it's always an underling. It's always a low-level staffer. Some poor low-level staffer is apparently at the helm of this, is the one who is responsible for this and did not do their job properly. I mean, they leak like social security numbers, addresses, social security numbers of her family, the whole nine yards. They didn't leak it. It just went to CBS and DiGregorio, which have chosen, both of them have chosen not to publish anything that they should not have had. And I give them credit. I don't know if CBS would have done the same thing if it were Trump. I don't think they would have published social security numbers, but if there was anything in there that they thought that could hurt him, they would put it out there whether they were supposed to have it. They acknowledged that personal information and medical details would normally be redacted, but they were not. And they do not believe that either CBS nor DiGregorio attempted to deceive NARA in any way and to get this information, which I don't know how you would do that. Yeah, and Cittarelli's campaign did not hire or encourage DiGregorio to do this. He did this on his own just to investigate her military career, which you can do. Any of us can do. And he said this is the first time. They did apologize. The NARA apologized for our mistake. Asked that you please not further disseminate the record that was sent to you in error. And it sounded like RFK for a hot second. Her campaign was notified of the breach on Monday. But this is a big deal because you know the Republicans are going to make hay of this. but there really isn't much to make hay about. But she's not doing well. And I think the part of the reason she's not doing well, there are people who are going to vote for her because she has a D after her last name. Just like with the Virginia race with Winsome Earle Sears. They're not going to vote for her, despite her being a black immigrant woman, which checks all the boxes for the Democrats. They're not going to vote for her because she has an R after her name. And the same thing with Cittarelli. He could be the better candidate, but they're not going to vote for him because he has an R after his name. So this, I don't think, really harms her. But I think what happened with Charlemagne asking her about the $7 million that she made while in Congress and her going, oh, did I? Well, I'm going to have to look into that. Like, she had no clue. Or she was just faking it really well. And, you know, then with she was asked the same thing in a question with an interviewer, and the Cittarelli campaign took it and just put it out there when asked about the $7 million she made. And he's really hitting her hard on that. And it seems to be working, as they are now tied. So I guess we'll see what happens. But both those races, super important, especially when it comes to the midterms, because they're off-year races. And a lot of times people will look to New Jersey and Virginia and the results of those races to see where they think we're going to be headed in the midterms. All right, coming up, Kamala. What is the word? Like, not unhinged. Kamala, just unblemished. Kamala, I'll think of the word, but just, you'll see. It's a little gift to you from my friend Mike Opelka, and I think you're going to like it. That's coming up on the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Mary Walter and Todd is back with you on Monday. Don't forget, you can follow me on X at Mary Walter Radio. My podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker for the audio, and you can watch it on YouTube, Spreaker, and Getter. Just look for Mary Walter Radio. It is live 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time. And I don't know who my guest is going to be on Tuesday. I should probably get on that. I got a lot to get on to. All right. So I want to share this with you. So my friend, Mike Opelka, who is a radio host as well, he's been playing around with some stuff, and he played around with Kamala Harris, not with her, like literally, because that would be weird and creepy. And he sent me something, some of Kamala's interview, and I'll just listen to you, to what she said here. How do I even intro this? I don't even know. All right, so just listen. Here's Kamala Harris, and this is, tell me what you think after you hear this. Go ahead, just start with 9.
Hurtful and degrading comments are sadly part and parcel of running for office these days. You can't endure it at this level unless, above all else, you care about the people who you want to represent and the things you will be able to do to make their lives better. If you do care about that, then there's no time to wallow in self-pity or lament the unfairness of it. Not that you don't feel it. Not that it's okay. It is what it is.
It is what it is. So what he obviously did is he took clips of Kamala Harris and slowed them down. And the funny thing is if you speed it up just a little bit, this is why she sounds drunk all the time. It's the way she speaks. It's the way she speaks. She's got a very nasal way of speaking. She sounds like she's from the Midwest. Do you remember that old commercial for some cold medicine? And it was, Milwaukee colds are rotten. Remember that? And God, that was a long time ago. And it was, Milwaukee colds are rotten. And she sounds very Midwestern, but she just sounds perpetually drunk. Okay, so we're not done. Are you ready? This is... I love this one. She's talking about, they put her through debate camp. You know, she had to go to debate camp. So here she is talking about debate camp.
Debate camp is awful. They break you to make you. They prod at all your missteps, all your weaknesses, find holes in your arguments, savage your delivery. It leaves you feeling barely competent.
debate camp is awful. I could listen to her read her book like this, because it's so funny, because when I hear her speaking normally, it's the same nasally thing. But you know, can you imagine living with this? Because she sounds, I think she oftentimes sounds inebriated, and with her thought process and the way in which she speaks on a good day. All right, so we got one more. Dylan chose one more. Are you ready? This is on Angela Merkel.
In the summer of 2021, during her final trip to Washington as German chancellor, I hosted Angela Merkel for breakfast at the vice president's residence. I am a stickler for being on time. I feel it's a mark of respect. Everyone's time is valuable. But sometimes schedules go sideways and I fall short. That would not happen with the chancellor. Germans value punctuality, and I was determined we wouldn't come off as overly casual Americans.
I don't know what's worse, this or her speaking normally. Dylan, thank you so much. That is hilarious to me. Thank you, Mike Opelka. Thank you, Cassie. And thank you, Todd.